If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Before we go blitzing on Grant and Danny, a reminder, the exclusive sponsor of this show, the law firm Condori and Murad, going to guide you and your family in the right direction, update your will, and help you to draft that will or set up a revocable trust, create a healthcare power of attorney, schedule a consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Mention the show, get a discount, kmlawyers.com. Every day this week, right here at 4, we're giving away tickets on Grant and Danny to go see Jason Aldean at Jiffy Lube Live. Congrats to caller 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You're winning a pair of tickets to go see Jason Aldean's Highway Desperado Tour 2024. The show is Friday, August 30th, coming up in 11 days out at Jiffy Lube. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. Congrats to our first of five winners this week. Next chance to win tomorrow at 4 o'clock ahead of the Blitz. Speaking of which, let's get to it. Our guy, Mark Zuckerman, massinsports.com, joins us now. Mark, they say James Wood doesn't pull the ball. And in fact, in fair territory in the air, he hadn't until yesterday. And then he hit an 8,000-foot home run. About time, huh?
Yeah, about time. It was pretty stunning that he had not pulled a single ball in the air yet. And then sure enough, when he does, he hits it, you know, 500 feet and off the second deck. So you knew it was in there. And, you know, I don't look at it as a bad thing. I view it as this guy can drive the ball to the opposite field as well as anybody. And the fact that he can do that at such a young age and know that, hey, there's still the ability to pull the ball just when he gets a pitch in the right location. It reminds me of Juan Soto. I mean, that was Soto's calling card, to be able to hit the ball the other way like that. So as long as it's not changing his swing, and I don't think it is, I think it's fine. And he proved to everybody yesterday that he does have that in his back pocket when the situation calls for it.
And he always did it in the minors, which is why I wasn't bothered about it at all. It's not like this is a long time, many year thing. This had just kind of been the sample over 150 or so at bats in the big leagues. But to your point, Soto, Judge, Trout, a lot of the great home run hitters earlier in their career, most of their early home runs were to the opposite field. And with some of those guys, it even became a storyline that they didn't pull home runs in the early going. So I'm not worried either. I actually view it as he's hitting over 280 with an 830 ops. And he's got like a 120 OPS plus, basically playing at a pretty elite level offensively as a rookie without having pulled the ball. It makes me think, oh my goodness, when he really does start doing that, everybody's in big, big trouble.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. You know, you've seen to this point, pitchers already from the beginning, they have been very tentative with him. It's a lot of stuff, slow stuff away, breaking down, outer corner or even beyond. And so it's not like he's been getting a lot of stuff that he could turn on. Well, once they realize, as they probably already have, that he can handle that stuff on the outer corner, well, all of a sudden they do come in on him, and now look what he can do there. So there's very little not to be excited about so far with him from an offensive standpoint. He's got the approach. He had that week or two early on where he was starting to chase a little bit, but I feel like he's put that behind him. He's been a lot better in that regard, takes his walks when he can, and still hitting the ball really hard no matter where the ball ends up going.
Davey, I'm sure. Mark, you're Mark. I was going to ask about Davey. I'm a big Davey Martinez fan. Davey, I mean Mark. Like everybody else is around here, right? I think there's so much good on the whole. I think it's been a very positive experience having him as the manager. If I had a complaint, it would be some of these base running mistakes are sort of, you know, whether the mental errors in the field, like I'm thinking of that hard bunt that Tenney didn't come in and field the other day. these things seem to like be persistent across multiple players over the years, and the cleanup doesn't happen. The kind of things that would get you benched in a high school game or you know, screamed at in a college game, et cetera, they're still kind of happening at the major league levels. You know, C.J. Abrams gets picked off yesterday. They end up winning the game, which is great, and he has three steals, but please don't get picked off when James Wood is up. That sort of stuff seems to persist. Just I want your thoughts on that and your mark, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. I don't disagree with you on that. It have been recurring issues, and it's not just like the current group, but it happened several years back with different kinds of players. I mean, look at basically got Victor Robles run out of town for the lack of fundamentals and continuing to make the same mistakes over and over. And what you hear from Davey when it happens is, well, we need to talk to him about that. We need to remind him of that, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's great, but where is the improvement? What are those conversations like? What reasons are the players being given or feeling to say, well, I've got to clean that up. I can't do that again. I don't know what the right answer is. I don't know if it you need to be stricter. You need to bench a guy if he makes a mistake or something like that. I don't think that's Davey's style necessarily. But for as good, especially in the first month and a half of the season, as good as they ran the bases and as, you know, talking about, oh, they're record-setting stolen bases, they've been not good at all at it since. Their success rate is really not good. Other teams have picked up on it. They take advantage of it, and we haven't seen the adjustment necessarily. Now, is it because it's a young, inexperienced team? And I'll give you a little bit of that, but some of these guys have been doing it long enough that it should not be a factor. And so, yeah, I do think it's something that has to be cleaned up. I wish I knew the answer for how you do that. But it has been a consistent theme, not just this year, but going on for a while now.
Yeah, to your point, I think they were caught in the month of June more than they actually stole, which is unheard of in today's game. What's going on with Cade Cavalli? Do we get to see him play professional baseball this year?
Oof. Well, he did pitch some minor league games. I guess that's technically professional, right? He's down in Florida again and started up the throwing program again after multiple delays and starts and stops again. It's been really hard to figure out what exactly is going on here. He had a period that they described as dead arm, which is not uncommon, but it shouldn't necessarily be something that drags it out this long. At this point, even in a best case scenario, if he comes back to pitch in the big leagues, it's going to be right at the end and probably minimal amount, and it just feels like a wasted season. That's not his fault. It's nobody's fault. Sometimes you come back from Tommy John surgery and it's not the same 12 to 14 months that a lot of guys have. The problem is this really was supposed to be a year, not just for him to show that he's healthy, but to start showing who he is as a big league pitcher. And we're now, you know, well into his career. He's going to have another full year of service time. He's made one big league start. I don't think anybody can say with any authority if they know what he is or how he fits into the plan moving forward. Is he a frontline number one guy? Maybe, but we just haven't seen it. We haven't seen him enough to know that answer. And so I feel like we're going to go into the offseason with the same questions about it. And maybe he's 100% next year and he takes off. But I can't say that. I don't think anybody can truly say that right now.
Mark, thank you. Great having you on the Blitz.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Be good, buddy. Let's talk football. Ben Brown, sharp cookie when it comes to analytics and breaking the league down. One of our regulars on the Blitz. Love talking ball with him. Ben, the rookie class in general has been outstanding at quarterback. We've talked a lot in town about Jaden Daniels, just named the starter officially today. But Caleb Williams, the entire crew, seems like rave reviews from the preseason. What's real here?
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, people like Bo Nix obviously have performed really well. It has been really encouraging. I think when we look back to, like, the Trevor Lawrence seasons, I think we all were kind of, you know, even at this point in time, Zach Wilson kind of discussing, like, you know, what one of these guys could potentially not live up to expectation. I think it was really hard to pick out any one player at that particular time. Obviously, in a lot of ways, all of them have, you know, underwhelmed from that expectation. But it does seem like, you know, maybe we've had a little bit more tempered expectations for this particular class because of that. But it seems like they have, I would say, greatly lived up to the hype. And maybe in a lot of ways, it's because, you know, there was a little bit longer of time in college for all of them because of the COVID type situations, longer to develop, you know, multiple guys switching to, you know, different schools in the transfer portal and how those things kind of shape college football as well. And I think in a lot of ways can at least prepare players to come out of college, and being more ready for the NFL game. And I think in a lot of ways we're maybe seeing that. I don't necessarily think it's, maybe going to be the long-term norm here, but I think in a lot of ways this class could once again be an outlier where we do have a lot more guys that are more productive. I do still think we're going to have, one or two or three busts, but overall it does seem like a class that's going to be better than maybe what we even projected heading into the NFL draft season.
Well, stand rookie quarterback for a second here. Help me understand the Atlanta Falcons, Michael Penix situation. It was already kind of puzzling, right? You go get Kirk Cousins to win right now, then you draft a guy that you're probably on paper planning on stashing, and then they're not going to play him anymore in the preseason. One plus one doesn't equal two to me. It equals like 470, and I'm just supposed to get it.
Yeah, there's a lot of big brain type decisions that are happening in Atlanta, I would say, in the last 6 months that have been, even for perplexing for me. And I think, in a lot of ways, we are seeing more deviation in how teams are approaching the preseason, given that we only have the three games, and how do you even play, starters and how long they play and a lot of those things. It does seem like this season in particular has, I would say kind of created a greater divide. And, obviously Raheem Morris, Zach Robinson were kind of question marks on how they were going to handle, the preseason from a coaching standpoint. Very much have adopted what the, Los Angeles Rams have done, not giving, essentially anybody noteworthy playing time, using it to kind of evaluate the end of the roster and who's going to be, the 40 through, 53 on the roster and some of those guys that are kind of fringe type players. But to me, I think, we're at least starting to identify the teams that are going in completely opposite directions or competing directions in the preseason. And I think at least we can start to glean some information on, what path is actually better. So I applaud them for at least giving us those data points. But to me personally, I do think there is much better ways to approach the preseason. And I'm a guy that would much rather see, starters, especially rookies, play at least, getting up to that first half type volume to really kind of get an evaluation of how they're going to perform at the NFL, especially if they're going to sit this season. So it's perplexing to me. I don't have a strong answer because I think for me, I would very much be on the other side of their approach and probably go in a completely other direction.
What about Antonio Pierce, head coach Raiders, naming the veteran journeyman Gardner Minshew, the quarterback over their young former draft pick Aiden O'Connell?
Yeah, that one, that one is also interesting to me. I think, to me, there's a lot of things for why Antonio Pierce would make that kind of decision. It does seem like, they very much kind of have to, maybe win now. Obviously, Devontae Adams, they do have some, older type players on the roster. And to me, it almost speaks to, the kind of leeway and leash that Antonio Pierce is actually going to have in that particular position. And I think that's got to be the concern. I think, if he was, willing to kind of go through this complete rebuild, Aiden O'Connell would make a lot more sense to me. The fact that they, continue to kind of at least short circuit a rebuild here and kind of get back into the thick of things in the AFC, it has left them in a lot of ways barren of talent and, up and coming type talent. So I guess I get why they would go in Gardner Minshew's direction, but I think longer term, it just speaks to the Raiders probably being in an even more, I would say, a little bit of a disarray than what they were kind of before this particular decision and going with Gardner Minshew as opposed to, trying to build for the future in an Aiden O'Connell type situation or at least figuring out, what you have with that guy in the building for the next couple seasons.
Ben, I think the Giants are going to stink. But based on that offseason hard knocks, I think they feel like they're right there, ready to compete. They're adding Brian Burns via trade and they seem pretty comfortable, like they're about to be better than people think. What don't I get here?
Yeah, I mean, I still think there's an expectation from a couple seasons ago that Brian DeBoer can, elevate to some of the parts. Obviously, the wide receiver situation has been chaotic, to say the least, the past couple seasons. But in a lot of ways, they have a lot of guys who at least have some NFL-type experience. And if you get Malik Nabers in the door, as well, and he's kind of a bona fide superstar at the wide receiver position, they can kind of do a lot of things and a lot of unique wrinkles offensively. And given Daniel Jones can kind of run with his legs, like they maybe don't miss Saquon Barkley as much as a lot of people are projecting. And they may be getting sharper, I would say, from that perspective, throwing the football more than just rushing the football. So I think that's it. Also, you just look around the rest of the NFC and There are going to very much be a few surprising teams in the playoffs because of just the overall conference and how there is just so much unknown in that kind of middle ground. And I very much think the Giants can think they can kind of do that. They have had some continuity type aspects where they have had guys there for a number of seasons and then added some additions to key pieces. So I get it. I can, I guess, understand the hype, but I'm with you in that. I still think that, you know, what they have, I would say defensively along the defensive line still needs to figure some things out. And if that doesn't happen, you know, they are still probably the third or fourth best team in the NFC East. And I just don't know if I can buy into Daniel Jones long term. So I'm kind of with you, but I think on paper and other areas, there's at least a case to be made for, you know, why not us? Why not now with the New York Giants in particular?
Thanks. We appreciate you, Ben.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Thanks, bro. Let's talk local football. That name's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
No, it does not.
And so does Kevin Sheehan.
That's
Kevin,
a great name.
Kevin Sheehan Show over on the Team 980. Kevin, pretty stunning development today out in Ashburn. Jaden Daniels.
Can you believe it?
Not Marcus Mariota, named starting quarterback.
Shocked. Just couldn't believe it. And good for Jaden Daniels to go out there and win the spot. I mean, I think we were all expecting Mariota to be no.
Him or Driscoll. I honestly
Driscoll outplayed them both.
I thought Driscoll was the guy.
I thought Driscoll was the guy. You know, this is what we all expected. I mean, it's you know, you can debate whether or not they should have done it like Chicago did it right from the jump or now. I don't really care. I think we were headed towards this. And you heard, I'm sure, in Quinn's press conference, him talk about kind of laying down the foundation for having to earn it. So 10 years from now, when they're out looking for the quarterback to replace Jaden Daniels, they can tell that guy Jaden Daniels had to earn it his rookie of the year, his rookie season when he made rookie of the year. I mean, there's some presumption there, but I'm all on board. I think it's going to go well.
What'd you see from him in preseason game number two? What'd you like? What'd you not like?
Well, I mean, I think that the same thing last week. He's poised. He's cool. What you see is what you watched last year. He can really throw the football. It was all quick game, as you guys know. I mean, they're not dropping him back. They're not play action, taking shots. You know, I think the one shot he took was to Diami. The one actual drop back was the 3rd and 12 check down debates of the throws that he had in preseason. So they're not showing us anything about what we'll see when we get to the regular season. But, man, he sees it. He processes it. He gets it out quickly. He gets it out accurately. You know, who is he playing? I don't know if any of these guys will be in the NFL. You know, nobody's game planning for anything, but all the skill stuff that you saw in college with him throwing the football, where a lot of the conversation was about his running ability and his dynamic playmaking ability. But, you know, watching him get closely, as many people did, you knew he could sling it. And I think we've seen some of that.
Yeah, very accurate. Ball placement's been exceptional. And I do like operating in quick game. You can't do it exclusively like they have. You know, it's not going to be sustainable to have a 1.9 second time to release all year. Lowest in the league last year was about 2.4. But he's going to be able to do this, and we've seen it. The other part of it that we haven't seen is going to be the real tell, and I'm excited for that. How about wide receiver really quickly, Kev? Jahan Dotson with this coaching staff clearly still has a lot to prove, and I don't think one catch, 3 yards, 2 targets necessarily helped him a ton over the weekend. What do you think eventually his role looks like?
Let me just say this real quickly. You can quick game your way to a lot of wins in the NFL.
Yeah,
you know, the 49ers did it. It helps to have Jerry Rice and Roger Craig and John Taylor and Brent Jones. But yeah, you know, I don't think there's much clarity after Terry McLaurin. Maybe Zacchaeus, you know, as a slot guy. But we've been listening to Dan Quinn for 2 weeks now talk about wide receiver two, get asked about wide receiver two, get asked specifically about Jahan Dotson, and I don't think they've got it figured out. Now, you know, does that mean that there's reason to be legitimately concerned? I guess so, but it's also possible that some of these guys are just gamers and we won't see it and they won't see it until they start playing real games. I still think Dotson's got talent. I'm not going to come off of that. hopefully he gives Quinn and Kingsbury, you know, the effort, the urgency, the competitiveness that they want to see, because I think that's kind of part of what's going on there. And, but yeah, I mean, right now going into the season, if you were looking for the best possible supporting cast around a rookie quarterback, you are okay, and it's reasonable to have concerns about the wide receiver group.
Kevin, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
All right, boys.
See you, brother.
Kevin Sheehan, the Kevin Sheehan Show, right here with us on our Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. Jaden Daniels was asked one question today in the press conference that garnered an answer that was pretty shocking, actually. We want to let you guys hear that, and we'll play Deal or No Deal. Is this something that matters at all? We'll do that next on The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Could get middle of the day that would make you really happy.
That's a good one. I don't feel like cooking. What do you want to order for dinner?
That's probably the best kind.
That's a good one.
Not a whole lot better than that. It's along those lines.
We're going to start saving more money?
No.
That'd be a good text.
That's a good text too. I'm marinating drunken ribeye for dinner.
Here we go.
That's not a bad text.
That's pretty good.
I'll take that one right there.
That's a pretty good text.
I just saw a video go by from last night's Little League World Series game in Williamsport, Tigers-Yankees. Mm-hmm. That's got to be one of the best things done in sports right now.
Yeah, the Field of Dreams game, that game, excellent.
For people that don't know or didn't see it, the Yankees played the Tigers, but they play in Williamsport near the Little League World Series. They design a big league ballpark that is essentially like a Little League environment where it's just bleachers. And the teams, all the clubs from the Little League World Series and their coaches, like, make up the crowd, basically. And what's really cool is the teams get there. The Nats were a part of it last year. So they get there in the afternoon. They spend the afternoon around the ballpark watching the kids play and warm up and practice. And they spend a day with, you know, all of the youngsters at the Little League World Series. They're sitting in the crowd watching the game, generally with the team from their area if they can. I'm watching video of these guys all warming up. And the Yankees are gathered around, like, giving them little pointers and tips. And Jazz Chisholm's got a recorder out recording a kid. Pretty amazing scene, though.
It's so great. Well, my favorite moment from that is, now, it's not the most fun to see Juan Soto just doing Yankee things. Like, he just plays for the Yankees now. He's just a Yankee all the time. And they're very confident they'll re-sign him because they'll just spend whatever it takes. But whatever. That part of it's hard. But there's a video from third base dugout side watching Soto take a pitch that's close, and he Soto shuffles. It's probably an 8.5 out of 10 Soto shuffle. Not an all-timer, not a World Series Verlander, grab my crotch, hit a bolt the next pitch Soto shuffle, but it's pretty good. You can see the kids in the background who are kind of like anticipating it, and he does it, and they lose their minds. They go crazy like he just dunked on somebody. You know what I mean? It's like seeing, I don't know, like Jordan in his prime do something and the whole bench just loses it. It's like that, except it's kids watching watching him take a ball, which is great.
All basically shuffling with him.
Yeah.
Though. That's the coolest
part. It's so
part.
Perfect.
Yeah. A very, very good video. I could try to post it on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson so people can see it. This was the question, though, of Jaden Daniels in the presser that drew the one answer that was pretty shocking, I thought. It's a pretty succinct answer. But let's listen to Jaden Daniels from his press conference today after he was named the starting quarterback when he was asked a question about sliding.
I hate to harp on the sliding thing, but I'm just curious, like, mechanically, do you actually practice slider? Have you ever practiced sliding?
Nah, I haven't.
Oh.
Have you ever practiced sliding? No, I haven't. That's shocking to me. First of all, it would be stunning if you had a running quarterback who didn't have the one major red flag coming out of school in an otherwise pretty flawless profile for a lot of people, that he's one of the thinnest, lightest quarterbacks in league history. And if you take his, you know, like per capita size out of it, where he's almost 6'4", like just his frame, there may have never been a quarterback quite as slender as Jaden Daniels running around trying to make plays. Certainly not anybody who's going to run as much as he is. So for good reason, because he took some massive shots in college,
yep,
a big part of the conversation about him has been, how do you keep him healthy? Another reason it's been such a big conversation is because Washington had the ability to draft a quarterback at too many years ago who had just won a Heisman Trophy, who was a dual threat, who was able to rip off some amazing runs and big plays with his feet. And it ended in flames on a scramble, but still him diving forward and taking a shot. And he was never the same after that. But even before that, on some design keepers, he did get rocked and hit from time to time. But understandably, and for good reason, there is a lot of discussion about keeping Jaden Daniels healthy, keeping him upright with this offensive line, and when he is running, getting to the sideline or getting to the ground. To the point, Danny, on his first legit big run, it was a design run of 13-yard first down, against the Dolphins, first time we've really seen him get any space around the edge in the preseason, Dan Quinn kind of comes waddling over on the sideline, pointing right down on the chalk, going, get over here, dude, protect yourself. And yet, I can't tell you how shocked I am to hear that at no point have they practiced at the facility sliding. That's like day one normal quarterback fun off-season stuff. We saw the Bears on Hard Knocks all break out slip and slides and go slide. There's like two traditional stories every year on sliding quarterbacks when you're dealing with a dual threat running quarterback. Either you take him to the baseball field in your city and he talks to guys about sliding. That's like the age old bit. Or the other one is you do slip and slide at your facility. And apparently the Commanders, with the guy who's very skinny and everyone's worried about getting hurt, have done neither of those.
I'm not thrilled about this at all. Like, this is essential. Like, my fear, there were a couple things that were kicked around, right? The quote-unquote negatives about a guy that I was thrilled that they drafted number two overall. You were more concerned than I was about the pressure to sack stuff. I think there's some explanations therein. I think there's some qualifiers in there, some nuance. But even still, the numbers are the numbers. This is my fear. We're the product of our experiences. We've all got experience with this. This can't just be something we laugh off. It can't be, oh, but he's tough. I don't give a damn. Get down or get out of bounds. This is not a joke. This is our best shot. This is our best chance to have one. He's really, really good. He's a player. He's got a skill set that's wonderful. This needs to be a priority now. Leave that press room, Dan and Jaden, and go work on it. Don't come out of the room until he's good at it. And then do it again tomorrow, and just to be sure. Please, for the love of God, if you won't listen to me about receivers, if you won't listen to me about going to find an offensive tackle in the draft, if you won't listen to me about that stuff, please listen to me about this. Keep him safe. This is not some sort of the whizzing contest off the balcony where we're trying to show how tough we are. For God's sakes, please keep the most important player on this franchise for the next decade, hopefully, healthy and available.
Especially because he's going to be running a lot.
God.
And he should be running a lot. I mean, I think I tweeted something during the game along the lines of, and everyone with Griffin PTSD took it, you know, and said, oh, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I'm correct. He should run constantly. It's the thing he does better than probably everybody in the league other than Lamar Jackson. And I'm not convinced that he's not faster than Lamar is at this point of Lamar's career. It's his secret sauce. It's the superpower. Now, he can also throw the ball beautifully. He's accurate. I'm not saying he won't be in the pocket making throws for me. He obviously will. That's how you win football games. You win throwing on obvious passing downs, throwing when everyone knows you're throwing. But see 2012, see Jackson, a two-time MVP. Him running the football is an exceptionally helpful thing for two reasons. A, he can rip off explosives, and B, Brian Robinson's about to have a career year because everyone's going to be worried about him. But he has to protect himself. And his entire career, I would imagine, I would have thought that at the start of every year at LSU and at Arizona State, he's out there working on sliding. What bothers me about this is not something that is necessarily like easy to just pick up. It's one of those things that is legitimately worked on and trained and in some cases intuitive. Russell Wilson, who played a lot of baseball, is great at it.
I was going to say, guys who grew up playing baseball, it's it's intuitive to them,
right?
Right? They can't imagine a world where they couldn't do that. But I'm telling you, if you wait until age 30 to try to ride a bicycle, you're more awkward than you were if you learned at age 4. You know what I mean? It's something that isn't a normal subset of movements for these guys that are designed at this point with all their training and quickness and speed and agility to change direction and go forward. It's not a natural thing. It's not something you can learn overnight, no matter how good an athlete you are. But it's something that needs to be a priority.
I'm shocked that it has not been already with this staff. You know, one of the things I really was impressed by watching Hard Knocks, and I'm not a big Matt Eberflus guy, but number one, you know, with Caleb Williams, one of the first days of camp, they talked about protecting himself, and they literally broke out the slip and slides. And I'm doing shtick about that. Like our buddy Richmond John tweeted a good zing. He's like, easy there, Mr. Zorn. You're all psyched for slip and slides. Not necessarily. I'm psyched for keeping my quarterback, who weighs 112 pounds, from getting hurt. That's what I'm psyched for.
Yeah.
So whether it's slip and slides or it doesn't have to be.
Whatever you got to do.
Go out and set up a nice flat surface wherever you want to go and work on sliding. Go all the way in on the shtick and have C.J. Abrams come over to practice and show him how to slide. I don't care. But I really am surprised this is not a stone they've overturned at this point. He is the face of the franchise. He's the whole deal. He's the whole kit and caboodle. He's everything. And we are on August 19th now from April, what, like 4 months into this thing, and we haven't gotten to the part where we're working on getting him to the ground safely? That's strange to me. That's very odd. The Bears and Hard Knocks, have you watched the first two episodes yet? How awesome was when they sat Caleb Williams down? You think about all the things, all the stuff you got to learn and process and plays you got to know before your first preseason game. And they sit him down and they go over the officials in the game.
Like you're going to get to know everybody, but you may only see him once or twice every other year or whatever. This is the lead official.
They're like,
you
here's
need to
the
know
four
him.
Officials in this game. We want you to know this guy.
He's an athletic director in high school. And you're like, oh my God.
They give him all these nuggets on him, his name. And Caleb Williams is like, okay. And what do I do? And they're like, go up to him, say hello. He's an athletic director at this high school. And they're basically just teaching him how to go out and interact and, you know, basically just be a person so that this guy thinks of you as a dude. Can't hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like that, to that detail, that's how they're preparing Caleb Williams. I hope they're doing that in Washington. I now would assume that Jaden Daniels hasn't had that meeting. If I already know the Bears have done the slip and slide thing and the Commanders haven't, like, to me, this is a thing. This is not nothing. I'm not going to make a huge deal about it, but I am surprised by this. And I would even go as far as to say I think that they should have done this sooner and it should absolutely be a priority. If for no other reason than, again, this guy took huge hits in college.
Yep.
It was clear this is a part of his game that has to be fixed. I already know he can get the ball out on wide receiver screens. He had that checked when he showed up on day one. I already know he can do the quick game stuff, 1.9 seconds to throw, out routes, 5 yards. Cool, that's great. He needs to be able to slide. But I want to pose this question with you, Danny, on the phones next. Let's go thing or not a thing. 800-636-1067. Jaden Daniels today says he's not practiced sliding. And he made it sound like he doesn't just mean with the Commanders here over the last several weeks, but it's never been something he's really practiced. Does that surprise you? And how big of a deal is it? Thing or not a thing? 800-636-1067. Also, somebody sent me a stat that Lamar Jackson slid like 4 times in an entire season. I don't know if it was last year or a couple of years ago. And asked if that's relevant and is that something we should take into account. So I want to react to that as well. We'll do that next on G&D. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Jaden Daniels was officially named starter today. He spoke after that. One of the questions that came up in his press conference was about how often he has worked on the mechanics of sliding. This is how it went down.
I hate to harp on the sliding thing, but I'm just curious, like, mechanically, do you actually practice sliding? Have you ever practiced sliding?
Nah, I haven't.
The book coming out of college was that he took big hits. Now, he didn't do a great job protecting himself, and that would have to change in the NFL. So it was very, very surprising to hear today for me. Sounds like for Danny as well, that has not been something that's been an emphasis for him. I guess they stress getting to the sideline, I'd imagine. Using it as his friend, maybe they run him to the short side of the field as often as they can, but you're not always going to be able to get to the sideline. 800-636-1067. Charles is in the district. What's up, Charles?
Hey, how y'all doing this afternoon?
Good, buddy.
Doing well, buddy.
good, good. It's an honor and pleasure to talk to you guys. Don't beat me up. I've spoken with all the guys, Junkies, B-Mitch, so y'all please don't beat me up. First time, man. It's a pleasure.
Oh, we will not. So welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It is a thing. And like I told the screener, you know, maybe it's a situation where he hasn't practiced sliding. He didn't say he was unable to. And I hope I'm not reading too much into that. But I feel like he may be capable of doing so, and he needs to make it a priority. So it is a thing. We do have PTSD in this city right now, gents. So it is a thing.
Because you've seen it go bad, right? A world-class athlete who's more athletic than everybody else he's going up against. There aren't many people that can run at the track and field level that Griffin could. He could also throw that ball, right? They don't make people like that very often. All it takes is that one moment. So maybe Jaden Daniels athletically is capable of it. If so, I'd like to see it. Because you saw already in the preseason game where Dan Quinn, a couple guys on the side that are going, get down. And Daniels is like, okay, whoopsie daisy. Not funny to me, by the way. Again, I love Jaden Daniels. This needs to be a priority. And I don't feel like it is.
Well, for me, it's way less even complicated than that. If you're a quarterback that runs a lot, you have to be able to slide. And I would even go even broader. You better protect yourself in this league. The quarterbacks that run a lot are often huge. We're talking about guys like Josh Allen. Those types of players that can take a beating and can be physical and kind of end the run falling forward, right? The guys that aren't as big like Lamar or Russell Wilson, even though he never ran to the extent that Lamar or Jaden's going to, like those guys have to be able to protect themselves. I bring up Russell Wilson because he has always been top of the class when it comes to avoiding contact, getting down, sliding, baseball background. Lamar doesn't slide a lot. Someone sent me something that showed that he slid four times in an entire season. They said, is this relevant? Yeah, it can be relevant.
You mean the guy that gets hurt a lot?
Well, he hasn't as much lately, but yes, it can be relevant in two ways. Number one, and that's where I was going, he's missed plenty of time, including a playoff game recently. He's been banged up at the end of multiple seasons, the years when he hasn't won MVP. He also, early in his career, before he gained weight, which he's now taken off, so I'll be curious to see how that goes, constantly got banged up and left a couple games with concussions, and that was a major sticking point. But he has gotten credited the last couple years with doing a way better job avoiding contact. Maybe Jaden Daniels can avoid contact without sliding, but that is a skill as well. That's something Lamar seems to have worked on and honed, and we'll see if Jaden Daniels can. But again, it's just so simple. Are you a dual-threat quarterback? If the answer is yes, do you plan on running a lot? And I would have him run a lot. I'm sure he plans on running a lot. Then you better be able to slide. You got to have that in your toolkit. If I'm interviewing a babysitter, I'm going to ask them if they've ever held a baby. If I am boarding a plane, when I walk by that cockpit and the doors open and I say hello, I might want to find out if the pilot has ever practiced emergency protocols. If you're a quarterback, you need to know how to protect your body, man. You're running around with the biggest, fastest dudes in America that are all trying to hurt you right now, this moment. Color me antiquated. Call me old-fashioned. I want the guy at the factory making my car to have an airbag installation station that he's working. I want the lifeguard at the pool to know CPR, and I need my quarterback, for God's sake, to know how to slide and work on getting better at it.
Because the huge essential point to me is, in general, that's the case. If you're Eli Manning or you're the most in-the-pocket statuesque guy, occasionally you're going to have to move around, protect yourself, as you said. Here's the part that I keep coming back to. This was my only and number one concern about the player coming out, right? No prospect is perfect, right? But the only hesitation, the only thing that makes me kind of like cringe and hyperventilate and sweat a lot about Jaden Daniels is his frame and the fact that he took so many shots. He got away with it as a collegian. Again, even on some of his highlight plays, he's going to the ground in these awkward ragdoll kind of fashions. Who does that remind you of, right? World-class athlete. It's impossible to escape the comps. This is the thing that will hold him back, if it happens to me, from greatness, is this potential for injury. Let's do everything we can to prevent it.
Whether it's the only issue that you have, like it sounds like for you, or for me, it's two of the four major dilemmas when you watched him and studied him. It doesn't matter. It is irrefutable that if this is the game, the one we saw at LSU when he had the greatest season in the history of the SEC and one of the best college football seasons ever, and that's what's coming to the league, then you cannot succeed over many, many years if you don't protect yourself better than you did in college. if you're still willing to take on the same hits, and if you don't slide or get out of bounds more. Nobody would dispute that. Not a single person in Ashburn, which is why it just doesn't feel correct that they wouldn't have been working on sliding. 800-636-1067. I want to hear from you guys on this next MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Thing or not a thing, Daniel saying he's never practiced sliding. Also, we can get into Dan Quinn clarifying his wide receiver comments over the weekend as we continue on The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Jaden Daniels was officially named starter today. He spoke after that. One of the questions that came up in his press conference was about how often he has worked on the mechanics of sliding. This is how it went down.
I hate to harp on the sliding thing, but I'm just curious, like, mechanically, do you actually practice sliding? Have you ever practiced sliding?
Nah, I haven't.
The book coming out of college was that he took big hits. Now, he didn't do a great job protecting himself, and that would have to change in the NFL. So it was very, very surprising to hear today for me, sounds like for Danny as well, that that has not been something that's been an emphasis for him. I guess they stress getting to the sideline, I'd imagine, using it as his friend. Maybe they run him to the, you know, the short side of the field as often as they can, but you're not always going to be able to get to the sideline. 800-636-1067. Charles is in the district. What's up, Charles?
Hey, how y'all doing this afternoon?
Good, buddy.
Doing well, buddy.
Good, good. It's an honor and pleasure to talk to you guys. Don't beat me up. I've spoken with all the guys, Junkies, B-Mitch, so y'all please don't beat me up. First time, man. It's a pleasure.
Oh, we will not. So welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It is a thing. And like I told the screener, you know, maybe it's a situation where he hasn't practiced sliding. He didn't say he was unable to. And I hope I'm not reading too much into that. But I feel like he may be capable of doing so, and he needs to make it a priority. So it is a thing. We do have PTSD in this city right now, gents. So it is a thing.
Because you've seen it go bad, right? A world-class athlete who's more athletic than everybody else he's going up against. There aren't many people that can run at the track and field level that Griffin could. It could also throw that ball, right? They don't make people like that very often. All it takes is that one moment. So maybe Jaden Daniels athletically is capable of it. If so, I'd like to see it. Because you saw already in the preseason game where Dan Quinn, a couple guys on the side that are going, get down. And Daniels is like, okay, whoopsie-daisy. Not funny to me, by the way. Again, I love Jaden Daniels. This needs to be a priority, and I don't feel like it is.
Well, for me, it's way less even complicated than that. If you're a quarterback that runs a lot, you have to be able to slide. And I would even go even broader. You better protect yourself in this league. The quarterbacks that run a lot are often huge. We're talking about guys like Josh Allen. Those types of players that can take a beating and can be physical and kind of end the run falling forward, right? The guys that aren't as big like Lamar or Russell Wilson, even though he never ran to the extent that Lamar or Jaden's going to, like those guys have to be able to protect themselves. I bring up Russell Wilson because he has always been top of the class when it comes to avoiding contact, getting down, sliding, baseball background. Lamar doesn't slide a lot. Someone sent me something that showed that he slid 4 times in an entire season. They said, is this relevant? Yeah, it can be relevant.
You mean the guy that gets hurt a lot?
Well, he hasn't as much lately, but yes. It can be relevant in 2 ways. Number one, and that's where I was going, he's missed plenty of time, including a playoff game recently. He's been banged up at the end of multiple seasons, the years when he hasn't won MVP. He also, early in his career, before he gained weight, which he's now taken off, so I'll be curious to see how that goes, constantly got banged up and left a couple games with concussions, and that was a major sticking point. But he has gotten credited the last couple years with doing a way better job avoiding contact. Maybe Jaden Daniels can avoid contact without sliding, but that is a skill as well. That's something Lamar seems to have worked on and honed, and we'll see if Jaden Daniels can. But again, it's just so simple. Are you a dual-threat quarterback? If the answer is yes, do you plan on running a lot? And I would have him run a lot. I'm sure he plans on running a lot. Then you better be able to slide. You got to have that in your toolkit. If I'm interviewing a babysitter, I'm going to ask them if they've ever held a baby. If I am boarding a plane, when I walk by that cockpit and the doors open and I say hello, I might want to find out if the pilot has ever practiced emergency protocols. If you're a quarterback, you need to know how to protect your body, man. You're running around with the biggest, fastest dudes in America that are all trying to hurt you right now, this moment. Color me antiquated. Call me old-fashioned. I want the guy at the factory making my car to have an airbag installation station that he's working. I want the lifeguard at the pool to know CPR, and I need my quarterback, for God's sake, to know how to slide and work on getting better at it.
Because the huge essential point to me is, in general, that's the case. If you're Eli Manning or you're, you know, the most in-the-pocket statuesque guy, occasionally you're going to have to move around, protect yourself, as you said. Here's the part that I keep coming back to. This was my only and number one concern about the player coming out, right? No prospect is perfect, right? But the only hesitation, the only thing that makes me kind of like cringe and hyperventilate and sweat a lot about Jaden Daniels is his frame and the fact that he took so many shots. He got away with it as a collegian. Again, even on some of his highlight plays, he's going to the ground in these awkward ragdoll kind of fashions. Who does that remind you of, right? World-class athlete. It's impossible to escape the comps. This is the thing that will hold him back, if it happens to me, from greatness, is this potential for injury. Let's do everything we can to prevent it.
Whether it's the only issue that you have, like it sounds like for you, or for me, it's two of the four major dilemmas when you watched him and studied him. It doesn't matter. It is irrefutable that if this is the game, the one we saw at LSU when he had the greatest season in the history of the SEC and one of the best college football seasons ever, and that's what's coming to the league, then you cannot succeed over many, many years if you don't protect yourself better than you did in college, if you're still willing to take on the same hits, and if you don't slide or get out of bounds more. Nobody would dispute that. Not a single person in Ashburn, which is why it just doesn't feel correct that they wouldn't have been working on sliding. 800-636-1067. Want to hear from you guys on this next MGM National Harbor listener lines. Thing or not a thing, Daniel saying he's never practiced sliding. Also, we can get into Dan Quinn clarifying his wide receiver comments over the weekend as we continue on The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.